Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, guys, welcome to the show. Keith Reza with the one and only
Alan Lee here, as always, loyal, trusty, and not making any money.
Exactly. This show. And we have a great guest. You've seen her on The Man Show, favorite movie, Wedding Crashers, and Comedy Central, and all these other great things. The great Rachel Sterling.
The great Rachel Sterling. I like that. Yes. Yeah. Great.
How are you?
Great. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Doing good.
I'm doing well.
I got a funny story about you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're just going to start right off
I'm
the
scared
bat.
Now.
You should be.
When you're as old as I am, there's a lot of stories, which I probably don't remember.
I saw you at the Shooters Comedy Club. Is that what it's called? The Cruisers Comedy Club in Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
Right? And it was opening night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, you want to do my podcast? And you're like, yeah, follow me on Instagram. And you took my phone and you literally followed you, right?
Yeah.
But I only follow the podcast, obviously, and then the girls that I'm dating. So I was dating a girl named Madison. Uh-huh. And then she knows I was following you, too. I was like, oh, no. I think she's married. And, like, I was just digging myself in a hole.
You're like, she doesn't date comics. Don't worry.
So, anyways, and then, like, then Madison was, like, getting all jealous and stuff. I was like, man.
Do I know Madison?
No, I don't know. I was like, Madison, there's this, I was going to end it anyway, you know what
Did
I mean?
You tell her I was 100 years old? Like, she's an ancient.
No.
Like, she's basically an element. She's not even a woman.
No. I said, Rachel's beautiful, and Madison, you're hot, and then Madison broke up with me. Mm. But I did that on purpose. You know what I mean?
So there's a woman named Madison that's going to kill me then. Great. Good to know.
FYI.
Wow.
But the point of the story is you're so aggressive with a follow on the Instagram.
You might have met Jamie.
Who's Jamie?
Was it the beginning of the night or the end of the night?
It was at the end of the night.
Oh, you met Jamie. So what happens is I do my set sober. Like, I'm never drunk or I don't do drugs, but, like, I'm never anything other than just riddled with anxiety when I'm on stage. It keeps me going. But after, when I'm done, we, like, Jameson. That's my drink. Jameson, neat. But I sip it, like, because I'm a fucking lady, of course. But I am small. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot. And then Jamie comes out. And Jamie is much nicer than Rachel. She's a little more aggressive, kind of rude sometimes. She's pretty rude. She can be considered rude. Jamie does things like she'll dance. She'll do karaoke. She'll do all kinds of things that Rachel will not do.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Including just saying, yes, I'll show up to a stranger's place.
Oh, my.
Here's my information. Oh, you're like, yeah, wow. Yeah,
where
yeah.
Where can I meet Jamie? Yeah. I'm lonely.
Oh, my Lord. Alan Lee's the trusty sidekick.
I am. Yeah. As trusty as a
sidekick. He's like, trusty. Main word, trust.
Now, you have a podcast. Do you have a trusty sidekick?
Yeah. I don't have a trusty. I had one millennial tendencies that I had a trusty sidekick. Mm-hmm. We got, you know, a lot of marriages and relationships ended during the pandemic.
Right.
That is one that suffered.
Trusty sidekick or your marriage?
My trusty sidekick.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
And we'll go into the marriages later. It's a long story. So I just kind of took a break from it because when you start, a little disagreeing is good.
Right.
But when you just flat out like start having arguments that like.
On a podcast.
That the person has to like take a moment. And I guess I was pushing so many buttons. And I'm like, that's what this is for, but not your buttons. I'm not supposed to push your buttons.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're supposed to be like, she's, and you just laugh it off. And he wasn't laughing it off. I'm like, I think for everyone's mental health, it's best if we don't do this. And so I took a break and then I started Shut Your Face. And,
So this is a different podcast.
I started a whole new one.
Whoa.
I'm learning how to do it by myself, which is why there's no consistency in it whatsoever. Yeah, so I don't know how to do all this stuff, so I'm just kind of... I just bought this stuff and that stuff,
great.
And I'm...
So you're doing it out of your house?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a great way.
I probably won't do it for that way very long just because I'm incredibly lazy. But I figured at least the first six episodes I should figure out how to do it by myself just in case. You know what I mean? Like in case we have to go back underground or something.
And, well, if you ever want to record here, I could hook you up.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Sam, if you're listening. Rachel.
Sam, if you're listening.
Sam's the director.
Hi, Sam.
He directs what?
So, that's true.
Well, we are in the valley. Be anything. People have to diversify. It's a pandemic.
You got it.
No judgment. No judgment.
There you go.
No, but during the pandemic, we've been doing the Zoom things.
The Zoom.
The Zoom.
The Zoom. How old are you, the Zoom?
The Zoom? I'm 34.
You talk like an 80-year-old. The Zoom.
The Zoom. I also say the Facebook.
Are you East Coast?
No.
No, you just put the you just like you like
finalities. I'm Texan actually.
Oh, I'm from Corpus Christi originally. Where are you?
You've probably never heard of this place, but it's called Monahans. It's right by Midland.
Nope.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Midland?
Nope.
Holy Lord.
That's I'm Houston. Houston, Texas.
So we're the three Texans.
You got
three
it.
Texans. Well, I mean, my mom got me out of there pretty quickly.
Oh,
yeah. I went to La Jolla High School, so San Diego.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. I always say I have to stop saying my mom never did anything for me.
Yeah.
Because she clearly did a lot of guys she didn't want to do for me because that shit is very expensive.
Exactly.
It's very pricey out there.
And it's better than Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't mind it. I mean, I went to Austin with everybody
Austin's
in the world.
A beautiful town.
It's a shithole.
The music and the clubs?
Honey, it's a shithole. Oh. Like, fuck the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I needed a Z-Pack regardless just walking down the street. It was so dirty. Wow. It's so dirty. It's outrageous. It's outrageous how dirty it is, actually. I don't like it.
I like
the clubs. I loved, I mean, it was a great opportunity. I went twice. Once with the Great Wave in March, and then again when it was a little more planned out. And I had a great time. I got booked on a lot of things, so it was easy.
Did you do the Joe Rogan Club that everyone's talking about?
It doesn't exist yet.
It doesn't exist yet?
No.
Mm. Holy Lord.
You mean Vulcan?
Is that what it's called?
Or is it Vulcan? Yeah. That's where they're doing it now, like the Tony...
Yeah.
Hinchcliffe, I always say his last name.
Right. He got in some trouble a couple months ago. Mm-hmm.
Again?
He did these, it's probably the same thing. He did these racist remarks.
Again? Or is it the same one?
I think it's the same one. Yeah.
See, the thing is like, I was out there, like, after that had happened.
Uh-huh.
And I always say that Austin is like summer camp. It's like sleepaway camp for comics. That's pretty much what it is. And everyone's so nice to each other in the beginning. It's like, it's orientation day. You don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And so it's nice, but it doesn't feel real to me. It's
just,
you know, you go to your classrooms. That's what it feels like to me. And, you know, everyone's so PC out here. They're like, oh, no, he'll never work again.
Say anything.
He was packing rooms, mofos out there, like standing room only for that guy. They don't care out there. They just do not care. In fact, the more awful things he says, the more they like him, you know? And all he got out of it was like an hour special of more material.
Yeah. We
you
should
know
move
what I mean?
To Texas.
So it's like he winning. Like he's just literally blocking. Like it doesn't matter at least there in that bubble. I don't know how that will go.
Well, that's also his brand. So, like,
it's so his brand, you know.
Like, I've had personal issues with Tony, but like,
I don't know him. He was nice to me when I saw him, and that's all that matters. So, he wasn't mean to me. Which he does. I have a healthy fear.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm female. I have a healthy, healthy fear of all those types of people because I'm just like, oh, please don't say anything to me.
but as a comic, you seem to get along with everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
I do well with that. There's a few people I care to not be around much, and that's very simple. I just don't be around them. Turn around, walk away, accidentally not hear people, things like that. But but I think also because I come from an acting background where, you know, the entertainment industry is very vast. It's big.
Right.
So into like LA comedy scene, I don't think I'm quite as affected as to like peer pressure and cliques and things like that, because it's just silly to me. It's just, we're all working. Let's all just work.
Would you say the cliques are bigger in acting or in comedy?
Depends what you want to be with. I feel like the cliques in comedy are more, and they're more self inflated.
Right.
I want to say.
Yeah, because like you see shows where they book the same comics.
With like, I don't know, Robert De Niro's crew.
Right.
You don't need to flex because you're there. You know what I mean? So, but then there's all these weird things at like your local fourth wall, and it's like, what the fuck? Yeah, calm down. You know? So it's just like open micers are beefing, and it's weird. It's very strange. I just kind of feel like it's just personalities, you know, that are all struggling, trying to work it out. So, I think we all do this because we have some sort of social ineptness. You know what I mean? Like I have social anxiety, like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah,
so,
and I have Asperger's. Okay. So, and Alan,
he's doing better than I am. Yeah. So, sometimes I'm just like, I just stare at people and freak out. I'm like,
you know what it is?
Just run.
Because like when I was a kid, I was very nonverbal, and then stand-up comedy actually made me way verbal. I mean, I've been doing comedy for 16, 17 years.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, the first 10 years I was terrible, and now I'm just okay. You know what I mean? I don't like those numbers. That makes me look like a bad comic. But you know,
well, you never, any comic that says they're great is
usually terrible.
I've been watching too much Sopranos. They need a smack in the mouth.
Right.
Yeah, it's just obnoxious when someone's like, I'm amazing. I'm like, dude. Stop.
Yeah.
You need to stop that.
And see, that's the one thing I like about you is you don't really have an ego about that.
Well, I don't think I ooh, who's that? Is that not me?
I think that was you. Kate Quigley texted you back.
Oh, did she? Oh, is that you? No. Is it me? Why is it it's not me.
Maybe it was me.
I think
maybe
it's you, dude. Yours.
Oh, no, it was me.
Oh, no.
Definitely not me. Kate Quigley, I'm trying to steal you for a show. Contact me.
Isn't she recovered so well, I heard.
So that's what I'm confused about. Because, like, not to make this about Kate Quigley, because
I don't even know her. I've never met her before in my life.
It should be about Rachel Sterling.
Yeah.
But
no, I thought she might have.
Well,
I have
thoughts on way things were handled. Yeah. You know what I mean? I kind of feel...
I would like to examine your thoughts.
My thoughts? Well, I don't know her personally. I've never met this woman. Mm-hmm. I think we follow each other on social media. That's it. Mm-hmm. I do know one of the people that passed, and that was, you know, sad, obviously. I feel like her old publicist should have stepped in and said, give me your phone. Because obviously there were some social media posts that, you know, it's a free country, say what you feel, but weren't exactly helping her cause.
Right.
But also, people need to take into account that this is someone that is obviously going through, not mentally okay right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and feeling very attacked. And also, I can't imagine how traumatic that would be to be the one that survived that.
Right.
So... anything that comes out right now in defense of herself that maybe isn't worded right, it's a temporary defense mechanism. You know, she might come back 5 months from now and be able to word it right or say it right. And,
oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? And also, people are just so quick to attack. Like, she knows. She knows it was a stupid thing. She doesn't mean, that's not helpful. All these people are like, well, like, as if she didn't kill anybody herself.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but
and
people
also,
love to be on a high horse about things that they don't know about.
Also, in her defense, like, she wrote what she wrote, but also it could be misread what she wrote. You know what I mean? That's the danger thing about texting and tweeting and all that stuff.
Which is why if she had a publicist or a manager that gave a shit, they would have taken that thing away and said, we don't do this yet for
a reason.
A minute.
Yeah.
Thank God they didn't have social media back when I used to be out and about and doing red carpets and all that crap. But thank God they really didn't.
Right.
I mean, we had Friendster, but it wasn't on your phone. And like MySpace and shit. But
you had to go on the laptop.
Yeah, to go on the good old laptop. But yeah, it was, thank God though, because I would have got myself in all kinds of trouble. I did all kinds of weird things. There's just no proof of it.
Right.
That's just the difference now.
I heard you have a great Larry the Cable Guy story.
Oh my God, yeah. I do. Did I tell you that?
No, I just, because like I told my friend I was interviewing you. And he was like, ask her about Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, shit. Okay, so what in depth do I want to go on this? I, at one time in my, I did music videos for Kid Rock.
Right.
That's how old I am.
For the folks at home, you're also one of the original Pussycat Dolls, right?
I am. I'm an OG. Yeah. So when people go, oh, the song, I left the group by the time that came out because I wanted sanity. I also wanted to eat. outfits, very small. No, I had a great time. Actually, my work ethic comes from being a doll. I mean, it's just like constant 24-hour you're doing stuff. Right when you're breaking a group, because I did the original burlesque thing, and then it was a group, and just it didn't. That song happened, and that's not when it started. It was like a year and a half before that of like maybe this works, maybe that works, and you're doing this thing and that thing, and nobody knows who you are, but you still have this incredible schedule that you have to keep, and you have to. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's like when you're starting to be part of a vehicle and you're just one little tiny replaceable, very replaceable cog, it's a lot.
I mean, just look at Alan. I mean, holy Lord. Like
he's gone through the works, this guy.
He's gone through the works.
Hell. Absolute hell.
Absolute hell. But anyway, that's where my work ethic comes from, is Robin, because she cracked the whip. But there was a point when I did music videos, back when they paid stuff, and I did a couple of Kid Rock videos, and we were I haven't talked to him in at least 8 years.
Right.
Very close, and so he wanted to go to the VMA, not the VMA, it's the Country Music Awards, and so I was like, yeah, I'll go, I guess. I'm not doing anything, fly me up. So I go, and then there's, you know, the private party after, and we're chatting, and I meet Larry the Cable Guy, and I don't know who he is, because you have to also understand, I was out doing things.
Right.
I didn't watch TV, so I had no fucking clue who this guy was.
Yeah.
All I know is he was funny as fuck, and I'd never heard I was his dream, because I was laughing my ass off at everything, and I'd never heard any of his jokes. Everyone else was like, oh, he's telling that thing again. I was like, oh my God, you were so funny. And he had his little get up on, and I was like, what? But also, he's Bobby's friend. So I'm like,
right.
You know,
he hangs out with some rock stars.
Well, he hangs out with some white trashy people. So it's not like a weird outfit to have on. Right. So I was like, okay, this is normal. Whatever. Yeah. And I told that man that he should be a stand-up comic because he was so funny. And he was like, oh, should I? And I'm like, yeah, you're so funny. I was also dumb as a box of rocks in my 20s, so I was like, yeah, you're so funny, yeah. I was like, fuck yeah. I was just so, I'm so embarrassed. Yeah, I hope I never see that man ever again. He's like, that was a dumb one. There she is right there. How you doing?
That's a great story.
That was probably Jamie that said that too, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jamie's the dumb one, not me.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think Jamie's the dumb one. I think you're the smart one. You're the sophisticated one.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. No. Totally. Yeah, that was a trip. That was an interesting.
So when you went into stand up comedy, like, because you were acting, and
I was acting, and then I didn't do anything for a while. I got a tumor for 4 years that just knocked me out of even trying to audition for anything. I was really sick.
Yeah.
And I ran a business for 9 years, hated it, never want to do it again. I will never have a regular job ever again. I refuse.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I did it, because it was very humbling. And I know I can run a business if I have to do it again and be in charge of people without belittling them and, you know, all that stuff that normal people do. But if you're in the entertainment industry, sometimes you get a pass for a lot of things that you don't realize.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You don't realize how rude they are in the real world, or that it doesn't work that way.
Right.
And boy, when I couldn't act anymore and I kind of turned in my wings a little bit and wasn't going to parties and all that stuff, the reality of life just punched you in the face. And it was like, it was painful. It was really like, it was emotionally weird, because as much as I said, I don't care about this, when that's all you do, and then you're just a civilian. You're like, what the it's there should be a group. All I'm
saying, no,
it really should. It's rough. It's if anyone goes, it doesn't matter. It might do what it does. Otherwise, we'd do theater.
I kind of can relate to that because, like, before the pandemic, like, I've never been like a major celebrity, but like, I've always been like a D-list celebrity. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And like during. Before the pandemic, I was like a D plus celebrity.
You know? I'm right there with you. So yeah.
So like my career was going higher because at the time I was touring with Norm Macdonald and, you know, all these sold out shows and stuff. So people were starting to know who I was. Then the pandemic happened and I had to go back to my day job, which is working at a grocery store. And I just felt like, oh my God, this totally sucks.
You know, why didn't you be a manager of a grocery store?
Because
why don't you start your own grocery store?
I
need to send Rob and Anton to your house to get your life together?
I don't have any house, but that's a good idea. But like, yeah, that's not where my heart is. My heart is in stand-up comedy.
But you could have had your own, like, you hear me out.
Right.
You could have gotten like a van, like kind of like a food van. Packed it with groceries and just gone, and you have to forced to listen to at least 1 minute of your shit while you bag their stuff.
Right.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Captive audience.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You want to eat? Laugh.
Drive through.
Laugh.
There
bitch.
You go.
So like, what was that? You got a text message? Is that Kate Quigley?
It is not. It is Rob Pugliese.
Oh, how's Rob doing?
He said, are you around for Christmas? I need you to watch my dog.
Holy Lord. So you dog sit. That was the business.
I dog sit his dog.
Oh.
Let me just answer him yes.
Really of course. Fast.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
Fucking the flow.
That's all good.
Cockwalker. So yeah. Bad.
It's all right. We still have the rest of our lives to catch up.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we're going to get married.
I'm just going to be here. My husbands do not fare well, though. Are you sure? You've heard my stand-up.
Yeah. I don't care.
He's like, I'm willing to risk it.
Yeah. I still think you're beautiful.
It doesn't matter that the two out of three husbands don't make it.
Oh,
holy Lord. Two out of three ain't bad. That's what Meatloaf said.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
You never heard that song? Two out of three. Baby, we could talk all night, but that ain't getting us nowhere. I'm terrible at karaoke.
What did Harvey Weinstein say? Two out of how many?
I don't know. What's that joke?
Are we quoting Harvey Weinstein?
I think Alan is.
I just threw that in.
Speaking of Harvey Weinstein. I don't have a Harvey Weinstein story. Hence, if I did, I would be a famous actress.
Right.
Clearly, I'm not, because he didn't take a lot of interest in me. I think he wanted he goes for the demure ones, obviously. I'm like, hey! Hi! He's like, walks by. I'm like, oh, he doesn't like me.
So you actually did meet him once?
I used to go to his parties all the time.
Never once looked
my direction.
Wow.
Like, he looked my direction because my publicist was like, this is Rachel. And then I was like, hi! And he was like, cool. And I was like, he's not into me at all. Yeah, no, it was...
That's probably a good thing.
I mean, not that I was being trafficked there or anything, but, you know, they did say, at least smile at the guy. Mind you, half of the females in Hollywood were there in their little dresses. And now we're like, no! I'm like...
Yeah.
It's interesting how people's memories work.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but...
You know, like, about the Me Too movement.
Not that what he did is excusable. Oh, no. I'm just saying that, you know, when you're young, you don't think about things. And I think that's how, I mean, I would like to think I would never be dumb enough to go into a hotel room, but I think you're just a little more trusting.
Right.
When you're young, or especially, like, if someone you know and trust made the connection.
No, I get
it. You know, like, he wasn't picking girls off the street. Like, these are agents saying, go here. Mm-hmm. So obviously you trust your agent, and then this horrible shit happens.
But, like, about the Me Too movement, which I think is a wonderful movement, but I remember before it happened, my friend, who I don't want to say his name because he hasn't come out about it, but he was taken advantage of by Kevin Spacey. And I remember he told me, and he said that he told a few people on the set that he was on the movie with, and no one believed him.
And he didn't want this.
Yeah. Okay. And then Kevin Spacey gets Me Too'd and stuff, and then it seems like everyone You know, and it's like, where was the belief when I came out 4 years ago? You know what I mean? I wanted to ask, like, granted, that's from a male perspective.
From a male perspective. Okay, so my neighbor was Bryan Singer.
Oh, the director.
So the house that I used to live in is torn down now. It's up on Londonderry, was up on Londonderry, so that he could make his crazy compound.
Right.
Now, I've been to his home. I've been to his parties. He was a lovely host. I didn't see anyone that didn't want to be there.
Right.
Were the girls and boys young looking? Yes, but I'm young looking. I can't gauge how old people are. Also, I have many gay friends, and it's kind of not unusual for an 18, 17 year old boy to be in the mix of things. Just like in Hollywood, if you go to Malibu,
right,
any party, those girls are very underage, and everyone doesn't say it. Nobody says anything, and you're not going to stop them from going to parties because these girls are going out,
right,
at a young age, and it is what it is. So it's kind of like New York. Everyone starts going out really early as well, and drinking and going to clubs as well. So at what point do we draw the line and start policing other people's children? I really do. I mean, we're going on to a way of children now, but like, I kind of feel like there has to be some,
like, parents, like, should kind of be,
come on, man. Yeah. Like a little bit, just a small, I'm not victim shaming. I'm just saying this, like, an ounce of like, yeah, that was not a good choice.
I agree with that.
Because there's predators out there.
Right.
There's people that are untrustworthy and unsavory, and they will attack you or put you in a situation, especially, and also little girls, they always want to try to be so grown up.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. We all did it. You know, we all try to act more grown up than we are and get yourself in a stupid situation. Luckily, my mom locked me in the house.
Right.
She's like, you will wait to be a whore. But, you know what I mean? That's not that. But as far as, like, him not believing him.
I guess the question was, because a lot of males got Me Too'd, and it seems like no one believes it when it happens to a male. You know what I mean?
I've Me Too'd the heck out of guys. let's see.
That was a joke for the folks.
Maybe not. Okay, so tell me if this is Me Too'ing.
All right, cool.
He was a good sport about it.
All right.
But he did look at me like, what? We went to a club.
Mm-hmm.
It's super.
Nice.
Okay. And sitting at a table. And they obviously sent me a male waiter because they want my money.
Right.
And he keeps eye-fucking me the entire time he comes to the table. I'm like, what the? My friend's laughing, and like, he likes me. I'm like, I'm old enough to be his mother, and he can't like me.
Right.
And he's like, is there anything that you need? I fuck, I fuck, I fuck. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, how much money does he think I have? This is ridiculous at this point. It keeps happening, because he's like, do you need anything? I'm like,
that's funny.
Yeah.
No.
It's kind of like how Alan's looking at you, right?
Oh, no.
So then... we just, it came out really quickly. I was like, an inner thought, there was an outer thought, and I said a sperm sample. I said a sperm sample, and but he thought it was serious.
Right.
Oh, so then my friend, who's also a comedian, just keeps going with this joke and starts trying to broker the deal. I'm like, I'm not even fertile. Why are you asking for it?
No.
Where is it getting? What am I going to do with it? Stop asking him. Stop asking him. Yeah, but it was just like, then I felt bad because obviously I'm friends with the owners. I'm like, hopefully I haven't gotten you in trouble. Like, oh, he's used to it. I'm like, but just because he's used to it doesn't make it right.
Right.
But because I'm a woman, I got away with it. If I were a man and I said something of that nature
to a lady,
it would be a to do.
Right. A different story.
Whole different story. There's such a double standard. I didn't know that smacking girl on the butt was. Like, you go to a club and someone's like, wah, 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 on the butt.
I've never been to a club.
Ever in your life?
Never. I mean, okay. I've gone to stand-up
Or even
clubs.
Like, okay, strip club, any strip clubs, dance clubs.
I've gone to a strip club, yeah.
You as a person, if you tip this lady, I don't know how you tip them these days. I haven't gone to one since the 90s.
Right.
But, like, you may not...
touch them.
Do this. You're not supposed to legally. Now, whether this is allowed or not... every place is different. You are supposed to, I found this out, you are not to graze the hand down the rest of her, and you, especially even if she's playing with you, whatever, blah, 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 you can't smack her ass. You right. can't do any of that stuff. It's assault.
Yeah, yeah.
She can sue you.
Definitely.
Make a scene. The whole thing. So the smacking of the ass thing also happens when you're at a regular club. I've had women that I do not know come up. They're drunk. I don't know. Drunk. I don't know what it is.
Right.
And she comes up and she goes, "You have a great ass." And just, I've been spanked. I've had my boobs grabbed. I've had my hair played with. I'm like, stop fucking touching me. I had no idea it was assault. I was like, wish I knew. And I would sue all these bitches.
Right.
I'm like, stop touching me.
No, I think that,
I am not cute.
I think there's a thing of like if you.
I'm going to open this. It's going to sound weird. I'm yeah. sorry.
Oh, Alan Lee Googled you and he got you your favorite water. It says you love Purier on the Google.
It does it?
Yeah. And yeah. that, like, that's what.
Where does it say that?
Alan, where does it say that? On her Wikipedia?
From your lips to my soul.
Right.
That's a running joke we always do, that we found that out on Google. We always say that. It's yeah. just a running gag.
Oh.
See how funny.
See, he's
that?
Trying to throw me no. under the bus.
No, it's funny, though, no. because...
It's our running gag.
It is your favorite.
Well, my friend that is staying with me... Do you know Isabella Charlton?
I do not.
Okay, so she's a comic. She's staying with me. The woman will not drink... water, only Perrier.
Right.
Like just like we have it coming like daily, like drops. Like it's just crazy because I'm like, you know, there's a water purifier. Nope, it has to be
Perrier.
Yeah, and it's just funny. So I was like,
I remember reading that on Google too.
You read that on Google? Oh, that Google.
Yeah, but like,
oh my god.
I guess. I back to my point. I think that there's a time where, like, if you're in a relationship or something and you're dating someone or married to someone, maybe I could see how people would do that. But, like, I still think, like...
Do what?
Like, you know, touching in public and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Because you said, like, people...
No, but these are people I don't know
yeah,
touching
what,
me.
That's like, what that's I'm saying. Like, yeah.
That's bizarre and
yeah,
weird.
I think
and
that's like, crazy weird.
It's yeah. not okay. I'm yeah. like, what did you fucking just do? Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a...
But it's like, what are you going to do? Sue your husband? Or you know what I mean? Like,
you can sue your husband.
You can?
Yes.
Holy Lord.
He's not allowed to touch you either.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Husbands have no rights. You're lucky I let you in the house. Are you kidding?
I knew you,
you
could sue
to
your
breathe.
Husband. But...
Well, you muzzle to you. You get to breathe. That's it.
But wouldn't that be like suing yourself? Because whatever you win, you would just win what you have.
No.
Wow. No. That's interesting.
People don't.
People don't
marry people, and that you have your bank account, his bank account, and then a joint bank account. Nobody just gets married with mingles the money anymore.
Oh, really?
No. It's
Holy
ridiculous.
Lord.
As your prenuptial.
That's ridiculous.
I guess my grandparents were old school. They did that, I guess.
Well, your grandmother probably didn't have to work.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
But
you know, the amount of work that I do, like, bullshit. Are you kidding?
Yeah, you work very hard. You do
There's no way I'm going to share that with anybody else.
That's a good point.
That's adorable.
Prenuptials are pretty recent, right? With Lee Marvin, the actor.
You can get one after the fact, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the idea of it, isn't it? Like,
I mean, they can always be amended. You know what I mean? Like, everything that you went in before you got married.
Right.
You know, and then while you're married, it's different or whatever. Or anything that goes into this account that's not from this. There's a lot of amendments.
Now, would you say...
I highly recommend if you're getting married...
To do
get
a,
one. If you can't talk about it, you shouldn't be married.
Yeah.
Let me get a prenuptial.
Well, you and I could talk about this off the air. I'm happy.
Oh.
I'm happy to talk about it off the air.
Oh,
but I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think, people, where your fame comes from? Is it from the modeling, or is it from
man,
the Reno or the Man Show or Wedding Crashers?
No, it's just from the whole.
I loved you in Wedding Crashers, even though you only had 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was the best 30 seconds ever. Don't tell an ex-boyfriend I said that, because I told that to him too. It was good. I was doing Dolls when I got asked to do that, and I was kind of, it was toward the end when I was losing my mind a little bit.
Right.
And I just wanted to be on a soundstage so badly. And I had done a favor for the director on a different project. I stepped in for some, there was a part nobody wanted to do. And like, I was trying to help people, like, this is like kind of direct, help direct. Uh-huh. Like, this is, do it like this. And they're like, no. So I'll just do it. Just don't show my face.
Right.
And then, of course, in the bloopers, he shows my face. I'm like, motherfucker. But I was a good sport about it. So he goes, I got you on the next one. And I said, I'm like, I had $1 million for every time someone said,
right,
I'll get you on the next one. They never do.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah. Everyone always like, I'll get you. I'll pay. You know what I mean? Like, I'll book you on something. I'll introduce you, whatever, whatever. It never happens.
I always thought, like, as an artist or stand-up comedian, because I don't really do movies or anything.
Yeah.
You're only as good as your last show.
Oh, God, I hope not.
You know? No, but, like, if you think about it.
Bloody hell.
Because, like, there's been times in my career where.
Your last set or your last show?
Last set. Mm-hmm. You know, where you do great and you'll get lots of work. And then if you just bomb, no one will book you for a while.
Mm.
So weird.
You know, but I thought there's a kind of a space of time there where they remember your work.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Well, you got to get back on the horse. You definitely can't be a pussy about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go back.
Yeah. So you know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a...
Like, when was your last set? Last night?
My last... I mean, if you call it... It wasn't a set. I did the improv. I did the mic on Sunday.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
It wasn't a set, though. It just
that's still a set.
Does it count as a set?
I believe I'm one of those comics who doesn't believe in open micers. I believe that it's practice for the real thing.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it would also the improvs. I mean,
yeah.
You don't never know who's there.
So exactly.
It's definitely not a place to go. What else?
Yeah.
I want to throw a rock at people when they don't like stop doing that.
I think I 100%.
You know what you were gonna say when you got up there? Keep just saying.
Yeah. It's like either go up there with your jokes that you're prepared. If you don't have anything, there's no shame in that. Just get off. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, or just be engaging and talk about anything. Yeah. Like, I hate French fries because this, and then just have an opinion on it.
Right.
But just be engaging or something. Or if you really just shit the bed, get off.
Right.
Don't make us sit through that. We don't want to sit through that.
Do you ever do shows where, like, the first three or four, because I could only tolerate maybe two bad comics in a row. Do you ever like where like the whole show is just bad?
I try not to be in the room.
Right.
I know okay. You're supposed to be in the room. I can. I do the Roosevelt a lot.
Yeah.
And so
I've never done it.
Yeah, it's my home club, and so
Han does it too.
Greg Han and Jay Moore, who I opened
Greg
for,
yeah,
does
Jay.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So
I think he's doing it next week.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Oh,
he is.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I do pay attention because obviously if there's a callback or something, you know, I'm half paying attention. I don't like to sit in the dressing room too much.
Right.
I don't know, probably because I have so much regular anxiety. For some reason, I don't get stage fright.
Right.
At all.
No, I get that.
Yeah, I just, it's the only place I feel I'm, mm-hmm. maybe I don't have two heads is on stage. Mm-hmm. But it's weird in the dressing room when you see people that have been in the game for so long and they're like going through their rituals mm-hmm. and it makes me nervous because I think they're nervous. And
right.
it's like too weird for me. So I just go do stuff. I go do other stuff and I pop back in.
Bring
and
out
I,
Jamie.
It's funny. No, not, I wait till after to bring out Jamie. But I have had very seasoned comics be so worried for me because they're like, she is just she's just hanging out. She's just, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't do the pacing. I'm not, they're just, you're just like, when you go, I don't know when they call me. I'm like, how long you doing? I'm like, I forgot already when they light me. And they're just like, that you're nuts. You're crazy. So I go out and
but that's also
I
high
do my
confidence.
Job. I do my job. Well, no, because I'm going to do my job.
Yeah, I think that's
high
confidence.
You know what I mean?
Confidence.
Like, I'm not doing a 30-minute Netflix special. I'm the new kid out of everybody, so I'm not going to be, I'm not getting the most time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
I think you could easily do 30
minutes. All I have
minutes.
To do, I've done 30 minutes before.
Yeah.
I've done 30 minutes, and the only reason I think it went well is because everyone that came to see me came to see me, the actress that is going to talk for 30 minutes.
Right.
So they came to support me doing something new, not necessarily coming to see a comic do 30 minutes of comedy. Like, I probably could have said the ABCs and they would have been like, yay, she showed up. You also have to understand, like, I've done Playboy. I've done all kinds of Playboy-esque things and music videos and The Man Show. Not necessarily big. I've done a lot of little parts on big things.
Right.
So, yes, I have fans, but most of them are still getting used to the fact that I speak.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, it talks, you know. So, you know, and then to actually have a joke or two that, oh, okay, that wasn't terrible. I think their minds are like, bah! They can't take too much of it, so
yeah,
it might explode. I think like if I do too much, it upsets the balance of nature or something in Hollywood, and, you know, I don't know, there'll be a sinkhole or something on La Brea, so I have to be very, I have to deal it out very slowly, very slowly.
the only like hardcore fans I have is probably from, like, you know, when I got from touring with Norman, tour with Jay, but I was on Animal Planet's Pit Boss for a while.
Oh. You didn't have to show your tits or anything.
No.
See?
I played myself, though. I just played a stand-up comedian because in the show, they would go to comedy nights, and I was just always the comic there.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's...
Did you do your real stuff?
Yeah. You know, like, they didn't give me a script of jokes. They just said, hey, we're just going to record you for the show. You know, they paid me and all that stuff. But
question.
Yeah.
So it's a TV show.
It was a TV show.
Well, yeah. Did they take it off the air completely?
I have no idea.
Then it is a TV show.
Okay.
If you can watch it on anything, it still is a TV show.
I still give $5 every month.
Hey.
Look at that.
Just invest that.
Yeah, invest that in the stock market.
Yes.
Do you own any stocks?
I'm an asshole.
I like that.
Ethereum.
Holy Lord.
I'm a jerk. Tesla, I'm Amazon. A jerk. I have crypto.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's a douchebaggery.
I just need to know what I'm marrying into. That's all I need.
Douchebaggery.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Fantastic.
It's douchebaggery. It's 1,000% what it is. Fuckery. Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say.
We were at the TV show.
I was asking you if, because when you do television, it is a long day, and there's a lot of, like, we're going to do it from this angle and that angle and back to one, and you have to have continuity. So how was that for you doing stand-up then?
That wasn't like that for me. What it was, hey, we're just going to film you and hopefully...
Dub the words in later?
No, like they actually filmed me with the five cameras or whatever at the same time.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's nerve-wracking.
Yeah. But at the time, like, I was practicing for a Conan set. So I didn't really, like, my mind was
a clean set.
Yeah, because it's on TV.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I never got the Conan on Conan, but, like.
Is that still a thing?
No, Conan's done. Yeah.
No, but, like, our talk shows, like, because now back in ancient times,
in
olden times, they wanted to get on Carson.
Right,
and if you got the couch, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Yeah,
that was, like, the gold trophy.
Now?
No, they should, though.
They should, though.
Swing it back.
Yeah. Who would take that? I mean, Jimmy Fallon's cool and all, but does he really have that much power?
I don't know, man. He can't even stay in character.
Exactly.
For a fucking sketch. Mm-hmm.
James Corden's awesome, but I don't
think... No, but people don't like... Why do you... I like him.
Yeah.
I like him.
I think he's the best one.
I'm jealous that it wasn't there when all that thing, that Cinderella crap was going on. I would have died laughing having James Corden dressed as a mouse or rat or whatever hell he was, thrust himself... into the car. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I was like, why does this never happen? This never happens to me.
My favorite was Craig Ferguson. I thought he was
Craig
good.
Ferguson.
Yeah.
A friend of mine used to write for him. I could never understand a damn word he said, though.
I just loved it because, like, he had that awkward sense of humor like me. So, like, if an interview's going bad, he had a snake cup, you know, and he'd be like, so, like, say if you were on Craig Ferguson, I'm Craig Ferguson, right?
You have to do the accent.
Yeah, I'll try. Right.
Okay.
So, Rachel, I don't know what else to ask. Hey, have you seen my snake cup?
Yeah.
Like, it was just so funny because it was an actual cup with a snake.
You know what's funny is I'm terrified of snakes.
I am too.
My sister My sister, okay, do you remember something called Zoo Books?
You're right,
okay,
yeah.
So the fucking books with animals. And they had like the Playboy centerfold of the animal. And the snake one, like my sister would torture me and she'd sneak up behind me and she'd open it to the big snake that was right there. And I would jump out of my skin. It would scare the bejesus out of me. Like,
I can't even watch snake movies.
I can't either. Like, I can't do it.
Jungle Book freaks me out.
Yeah. I closed my eyes at Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The Harry Potter. I was like, no. Yeah.
Yet we had the wrestler snake.
Oh, yeah. Jake the Snake, Jake the wrestler?
As a guest, you had that.
Oh no. Fuck that guy, man.
He was hilarious. I thought he was funny.
He had a fucking snake when I interviewed him.
You know this wrestler?
And I was just like, it threw me off.
I wouldn't have allowed it in the room.
I was like, dude, can you put the snake away? Like, you could already kill me. You don't need the snake.
Yeah.
So,
that's horrible. I don't like birds either because they're too snake-like.
Oh, like really? Oh.
I have gone on dates and it was like I didn't get a second date because I was weird because I couldn't. I have food restrictions and they're not dietary. They're just I can't look at it.
Right.
And it's like the wings. I'm afraid of wings.
Ah.
They terrify me.
Ah, we'll talk about that on our date.
Okay.
All right. Rachel Sterling, what do you got coming up? Because we're running out of time.
Oh,
because
I talk so much. Okay.
Where can the folks at home follow you?
You can follow me at rachelsterling.rocks.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Rachelsterling.rocks. I do have a non-nude, you will see my bits, not my tits, on OnlyFans.
Oh.
So there you go. There's a link on my website. And November 5th, I'll be at the Roosevelt.
All right,
fantastic.
Cool.
You have awesome. Facebook, maybe?
I do have a Facebook. Just
you got
type
a Facebook?
It in. He has. I do. If you go to my website, it'll there's a link.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and I'm at Art Sterling Comedy on Instagram.
All right.
Here's a hard question.
Okay.
Here's a hard question.
Okay, what's the hard question?
What was the most expensive snack at the Playboy Mansion?
Oh.
What do you mean?
The most expensive, like, hors d'oeuvre that they served, and you said, oh.
We only got 3 minutes, so.
I don't know. Caviar, I don't think I ever ate snacks.
She probably got it for free.
Lobster.
Yeah, they make all that stuff. I mean, you just go in and say, I want something, sure. And they make it.
So I've never been there.
Well, it's gone now. Yeah. It's gone now.
Well, anyways, Rachel, this was a great conversation. I'm not going to unfollow you on Instagram until we break up.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Subscribe, rate, and review to the show on Apple Podcasts. And Rachel, thanks so much for doing it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee. Right here on LA Talk Radio.